All right. Like to speak about a few inyanim in the parasha, and one central theme I'd like to bring out is what defines a true melech, what defines a true leader, what defines true godless, what defines true greatness. In the beginning of the parasha, we have the confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. The Yigash El of Yehuda. So the Medrash says that. The Medrash says, thanks for coming. Medrash says, Kinei Amlachim No'adu. The Medrash says that the kings have came together. The Medrash says the kings came together. Yosef the king, Yehuda the king, the kings have come together, and the brothers were shaken with fear. And the Medrash says the brothers said that we can't get involved over here. How could commoners get involved in an argument between two kings? Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef was the melech. Also carried the midah of Malchus. And Yehuda, as we all know, Yehuda is the one that was zaycha to have the Malachim come from. The Malachim, David HaMelech, and the Malachim from David HaMelech, Shlomo, and Mashiach, and Mirtz Hashem, should come. This will be from David HaMelech. So I saw in the Lekach Tov, he brings down from Rav Bluch, I'm not sure. He brings down that a medrash that why was Yehuda zaycha to Malchus? Why was Yosef and Yehuda? The medrash says why was Yehuda zaycha to Malchus? So medrash says because when it came to the ma'isa with Tamar, when it came to the ma'isa of Tamar, he admitted that he sinned. He admitted publicly that he was the one that was with Tamar, and because he was ma'id al emes, he admitted the truth. That's why he was zaycha to have Malchus come from it. Yosef. Why was Yosef zaycha? The Medrash doesn't say this. I don't know if the Medrash is as explicit over here. But Yosef was zaycha to his greatness, to his Malchus, because of the ma'aseh with Eishes Potiphar. Because he had the strength to overcome his nisayon with Eishes Potiphar. So, what he wants to bring out is that the reason why Yehuda and Yosef, the common denominator between Yehuda and Yosef that made them zaycha l'malchus, is the strength of character to overcome the Yetzirah, overcome their own personal desires, own personal interests, and act l'man Hashem, and act correctly. Ezo gibor akayvish es Yitzray. This is the first midah I like to focus on in the order of the parasha. The first midah that a person needs if he wants to be a true leader, a true gadol. A leader doesn't have to be a public figure. A true person, a person of leadership, a person who's worthy of leadership, has to be a person that acts l'man Hashem, who doesn't act for his own sake. Look at the irony, by the way. It's unbelievable. I just thought of this as I was saying it. Look at the irony. What did Yehuda do to himself? When Yehuda came and admitted that he was Mizana, he was publicly embarrassing himself. He was losing his chance to become president. You know, actually nowadays that's a qualification for president. He was losing his chance of becoming a big respected person by admitting that he didn't, that's nuss. That's a tremendous embarrassment, tremendous design for him. And look at the Ashkachas Hashem. That punked. What made Yehuda Zaycha L'Malchus? What made Yehuda Zaycha L'Malchus? His ability to say he's wrong and to embarrass himself. What up in nature doesn't make sense, that this should be something that should bring you to Malchus, should bring you to kingdom. This is something that should bring you to lowliness. This is the thing that brings a person to greatness. A person has to always remember, Hashem runs the world. You say every day in David. Aisha Vakal Mofanach Avatam Aisha Vakal. Uviyarcha Akayach Vagbura Lagadol Chazak Vakal. Gadlus is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a melech? We know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a leader? Someone who's not interested in malchus. Someone who's not desirous for malchus. His desire is to do what's right. Yehuda, by giving up, by sacrificing his own embarrassment, to Laman Hashem. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he is the one that's worthy, that him, his children, should be malachim. When a person, a Klai Yisrael, does not believe in appointing leaders that sell themselves. We believe in leaders that people buy, people want, for what they are, not because they sell themselves. There's no mile in selling oneself. It's not approach for a bentire, selling himself. We do not sell ourselves. If a rav sells himself, he's a bad rav. We don't look to sell ourselves. A rav who's popular doesn't necessarily mean he's the right person for right person. We're not looking to become popular. That's not what Hashem wants. We're looking to do what's right. And people that respect someone that does what's right, Mimela will become popular. But if his popularity is based on a certain magnetic pull he has, or a certain charisma, if that's his whole effect, that's his whole power, it's superficial power. It's a superficial magnet. He uses other tricks to get people to follow him. That's an abhorrence. That's the opposite of Malchus. That's the opposite of someone who should be king. A Melech is someone who's like Moshe Rabbeinu, who's an Anav Mikol Adam. He's not interested in being the leader of Klal Yisrael. He's interested in helping Klal Yisrael. And if Hashem wants me to be the leader, I'll be the leader. But he's not doing it for self-gratification, Chas V'Shalom. And you should know. Do what's right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care. If we all like honor, Hashem will take care of that. But the only person that's right to be in a position of leadership, to be a true melech, is someone that's not his goal. That's not his pursuit. He could want to help people, and therefore he might accept it. But the malchus has to be, Hashem gives you the malchus. It's true malchus. Yehuda is a true melech because he admitted he was wrong. That's a melech. In the Goyish culture, that's not the opposite of a melech. A melech is someone who carries himself with a certain thing, who doesn't admit that he did something wrong. By the Goyim admitting, by admitting you did something wrong, that's the opposite of a Malchus. It's the opposite of Malchus. And by the way, that's a true Melech. Even after he becomes a Melech, 100%. If Yehuda was a Melech, he still would have done it. Even after he was a Melech, he would have admitted he did something wrong. A true Melech does what's right. He's acting Laman Hashem, not for himself. And if it makes you feel better, you can remind yourself, when you do something that might seem to be hurtful, damaging to your own career or your own thing, just remember Hashem's the boss, and remember Yehuda, that when a person does what's right, Hashem takes care of him. A person does what's right, Hashem takes care of you. Oh, but if I do this, the people will hate me. If I do this, the Baal Batim won't like me. If I get up and speak about talking during davening, they won't like me. If I remind them about Kriyat Shema, they'll call me a frumi. You can't be thinking about other people. Do what's right. That's Hashem's department. It's Hashem's department. Vayikra in the parasha, we have the meeting of Yosef and his brothers. So at the meeting, I should say, the revelation of Yosef to his brothers. So it's a famous Beis HaLevi. I like to say over. I'd like to go into detail, expound on it. The pasuk says that Yosef says, "Vayomer ani Yosef, I am Yosef." Ha'ayd avi chay. Is my brother still alive? Is my father still alive? So the brothers could not answer him because they were overwhelmed, embarrassed in front of Yosef. The Medrash says that famous Medrash, woe for us when we come to Shemayim for the Yom HaDin, for the Yom HaTaychacha, for the day of Musar. to the day where Hashem will show us, to show us what we've done wrong. Because look at the brothers, the Medrash says. The brothers came in front of Yosef, who was a pasuk v'dam, and look how embarrassed they were over what they did wrong. So imagine what's going to be with us, our embarrassment that we're going to have to face in Yom HaDin. So basically he asks, where does it say that Yosef gave them Musar? What does it mean, that Yosef gave them Musar? Yosef didn't give them any Musar, he just said, I'm Yosef. I'm sorry? Oh, so that's basically Levi's famous tarot. So, where's the Musar? So Zok to Beis HaLevi, you know where the Musar is? The Musar is, as Yosef said, Aida Avichai. He says, my brother's still alive. Meaning, all this time, you weren't concerned when you sold me, you wanted to kill me. Were you concerned about my father's pain? Aida Avichai, my father's still alive after all you've done to him. Is my father still alive? Were you concerned then when you sold him about my father's pain? What happened? What changed? What changed? What's the Musar? What's the Musar? The Musar was that Yosef was showing his brothers, you obviously did not act l'man Hashem. You obviously, even though you thought, the brothers were tzaddikim, the brothers obviously thought they were doing the right thing by selling Yosef. But you obviously were not aware that you had negiyus, that it was out of your jealousy. I'll prove it to you. Because, look, now, when you came to taking Binyamin, you were concerned about your father. Yehuda, you're standing up, you're willing to give up your life to make yourself a slave instead of Binyamin. You're willing to because of your father's pain, your father's agony. Now let me ask you a question, brothers. By the time when you sold me, was that heavy on your mind? Was that heavy on your mind what's going to be with my father? With our father? Now listen carefully what I'm saying. Obviously, the brothers could have paskined to sell if Yosef needs to be sold, they paskined. Well, it doesn't make a difference what our father's thinking. We have to sell him. But from the fact that wasn't on their hearts, from the fact they weren't full of pain, over the fact that their father was going to have such agony when they sold Yosef, that shows there's crookedness in the judgment. When you see someone else give someone Musar, when you see someone do something, and he does it not in a sweet way, does it in an obnoxious way, that's a rye we spoke about yesterday, that's a rye that obviously he's not using, he's not doing it l'man Hashem, he's not doing it with al-derech hayasher. There's something mixed in, there's anger mixed in, there's personal honor mixed in, there's something else mixed in there. If you weren't thinking about our father's pain, obviously you're so obsessed, you're so taken by your anger and by your jealousy to sell me, that it wasn't on your mind what's going to be with my father. You're too focused on getting rid of me. You could pass him to sell me even if my father's going to be in pain. Fine, what are you going to do? If you have to sell, you have to sell him. But if it wasn't bothering you, it wasn't on your mind, I'm not sure the Beis HaLevi says it this way, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but if this wasn't on your mind the whole time when you sold me, that's a right that you were acting just out of your own negiyus. And then the brothers realized that he was right, because they had no answer to that. That's a proof that you weren't acting l'man Hashem, you weren't acting l'shem Shemayim. They realized, all of a sudden, they realized that everything they did was not l'shem Shemayim. It was out of jealousy. A person, this amazing yisayif, a person has to realize that a person has to learn, spoke about other times, to understand himself very, very well. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? You have to think about everything. Do I have my own gain involved? Do I care about the other person? The person has to think about all the different possibilities and all the whole situation and analyze himself. Sometimes you don't know yourself until you think about it well. Am I really, really doing this l'shem Shemayim? Am I really concerned about this person? Am I really acting for the right reasons? If a person asks himself kashas, what about this, what about that? A person scrutinizes the situation and he can understand and learns to understand whether I'm really doing this for the right reasons or not. This were used as number two, as the midah of a melech, of a midah of Yosef HaTzadik. If a person wants to be a melech, doesn't have to be a rav, doesn't have to be the president. A person wants to be a true leader, a true person of godless. He has to be a person that knows how to separate his own negiyus, his own desires, from what's right. The site is as follows. We all enjoy kavod. Hopefully. We all enjoy honor. We all enjoy money. We all want things. We all like money. We all like power. Power is honor. We all like these things. But are we able to understand that's my motivation? Am I able to see this is why I'm doing it? That's the yesod. If you're able to understand yourself well and know, I'm doing it for honor. And then you're able to say, for honor? That's not the right thing to do. I shouldn't be doing things for honor. Hashem will take care of my covenant. I'm not doing things for honor. A person's able to separate his negiyas, his other emotions, his other desires from himself. If not, by the way, he's a walking disaster. Walking disaster. He hurts people. L'shem Shemayim. That's the right thing to do. He acts completely for his own sake, and he thinks, even thinks to himself, like the brothers did, and the brothers were great people. So Kal v'chaymer for us, that we think that we're doing what's right. Oh, we're doing what's right. Yeah, this person needs to be punished. Yeah, we're doing what's right. Do we really think, or are we really, do we really understand our motivations? We have to check ourselves. Another thing you could add in the Yosef's Musar, I think I've heard this before, that they said, I think this is, I heard this, saw this somewhere, said, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. When they recognize that, look at this tzaddik, they were able to see that Yosef was a tzaddik. He tells them, he does it in a nice way. He feels bad for them, that he has to embarrass them, feels bad for them. They just sold him. Yosef Atzadik. Nothing's personal. Hashem, it was Hashem that sent me. Don't feel bad. Hashem wanted me to be sold to Mitzrayim. It's all good. Yosef Atzadik, they see that Yosef is a true Tzadik. That's also another ride that they acted wrong. Because they thought Yosef was a Rasha. How could it be the person we just sold down to Egypt? We sold him down to Mitzrayim, under the worst influence of Mitzrayim. Now all of a sudden he's a tzaddik? Perhaps maybe we misjudged him? Apparently we misjudged his character. We misjudged his character because of our personal negiyas, because of our jealousy. Yosef is Ani Yosef. He's a real tzaddik. This is a real tzaddik. When we sold him, he was also a tzaddik. We didn't see beyond the superficial things that bothered us. We didn't see beyond our negiyas. What other nakuda? What other ingredient for godless to be a melech? This is a good shiloh. I don't know if my answer is the right answer, but it's a good shiloh. We all know that when Yosef sends his brothers back to their father. So they send wagons. So the pasuk says that Yaakov sees the wagons, and then he, Radchi Yaakov, Ruach Yaakov. Let me just find the pasuk here. It says Yaakov hesitated, but when he saw the agalos, when he saw the wagons, Asher Shalach Yosef Lasseis Eisai, Radchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyah, the spirit of Yaakov became uplifted. So Rashi says that Yosef gave them a siman. The wagons was a siman, because that's what he was learning last. He was learning last the parasha of Egla Arufa, play on words, Egla Agala, wagon. So somehow Yaakov understood that this was a siman, that this is Yosef. Because Yosef, this was the last thing that Yosef learned. And I guess Yosef knew what he had learned last. Some mefarshim say, I once heard a pshat, before we get to my kasha, I once heard a pshat that someone would say that Yaakov's hesitation wasn't whether Yosef was alive. Pasha pshat was Yaakov wasn't sure if Yosef was alive. When he saw that ghost, that told him he was alive. Someone would say that Yaakov knew he was alive, but he was worried that maybe Yosef wasn't the same Yosef that left. Maybe it wasn't Yosef who was a tzaddik. Maybe he was corrupted since he left his house, since he went down to Mitzrayim. When he saw the Agolis, he was still holding in the middle of Egla Rufa. He was still remember what he learned. It still was important to him. Still remember what he had learned. And that was on his mind, to send him the Egla Rufa. He was telling Yaakov, I'm still someone who's holding my Torah. I'm still fulfilling the Torah. I'm still a tzaddik. But my Shiloh was like this. Why did Ashkacha make it? Why did Ashkacha make it? It's my type of kasha. Why did Ashkacha make it that it was Egla Rufa? Could have been any single parsha they could have been learning. Is it just coincidental? Could have been anything. They could have been learning Nazir. They could have been learning Nidarin, Subis. Could have been learning Sanhedrin. Could have been learning anything. Is there a Ashkacha here that somehow that it turned out to be the parsha of Egla Rufa? Maybe I'm wrong, but I always think that there must be some reason why it's Parsha Segla Rufa. Why Dafka that turned out to be the Parsha? Am I wrong or right?
Right.
I don't know. That's my feeling. So, but...
Do you have an answer? What? Do you have an answer?
A possibility. Yes?
No, I don't think it's funny that, like,
he thought
that, like,
you
stood sending a wagon to mean that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't understand that.
Why don't you just tell directly? I don't know.
Very well, easily could have been. He wasn't sending any message about Adikul, he was sending wagons.
I have a bar for that. We'll do this on the side. Daniel asked that. How did Yaakov know that was Yosef's intention? He needed wagons to travel. I don't know, but I'll tell you your side that I think that I have your side. When a person sees something as a message, it's a raya, it's a message. If a person sees something as a message, it's a raya, it's a message. So if Yaakov saw the wagons and he understood, Hashem put it in his mind, he understood that this is a message, that this is a reference to Egla Rufa, he knew that this definitely is a real message. When a person sees a message, whether it makes any sense, doesn't make any sense. I was joking with the guys. I told this before, I think. I think I'm crazy, but I don't know. This is not the best example, but this is the way I try to see things. I was on the highway and I wasn't sure which way to go. And I was listening to tape for Reisman, and on the tape Reisman said that Hashem said to Yirmiyahu, take the belt. So I said, to me, that told me I should take the belt. It worked out well. But why was I listening to a tape punk that was just cute, said take the belt? Sound, you know, to me it was a message. Now, if I wouldn't have heard it that way, if I wouldn't have chopped it, so it wouldn't have been a message for me. If there's a reason why I understood it that way. There's a reason why a person sees something from that way. Okay, but getting back to our kash, why Egla Rufa? Why Egla Rufa? I don't know. This is a drush. But fine, we try. Either way, it's a good yusayid. Let's be honest. I don't like to make things, sound better than they are. But it's a nice chat anyways. What's part of the limit of Egla Rufa? What happens with Egla Rufa? You have someone outside, someone who's found dead outside the city. So we don't know who killed him. The halacha is that you measure, you find the closest city to where the person was killed, and the bezin of that city and the elders of the city have to come out. They go out to the valley and they take an egla and they break its neck. They break the calf and they break its neck, and they testify. It says that they testify that we didn't send them out without food. We didn't send them out without water. Why do they have to testify? They didn't send them out without food, because if they sent them out without food, it could be they're responsible for his death. Because if you send the guy without food, it could be he had to steal to get food. And by trying to steal, someone else killed him. So maybe it's because they didn't send him out. What? Star of Salvation? I don't think that's the vibe. I don't think that's the var. But the Gemara in the end of Saita is a parak called Egla Rufa. Talks about the Egla Rufa. Of course, I don't know where it is.
Okay.
Because where's all the Gadita? I don't know, this is the way I remember it, I'm not sure. But where's the whole Gemara about Leviyah? Something's wrong here. Alright, the Gemara discusses in a Gemara says that the Pasuk says as follows. It says that it says in the Psukim that the Ziknei Ha'ir, they're supposed to say that Yadeinu lo shafkas adam hazeh, says that they're supposed to say that we didn't kill him, and Bezin says that we didn't kill him. In fact, the Gemara, do we think that Bezin would kill somebody? Well, it means that we didn't send him out without food, and we didn't send him out without accompaniment, and we were responsible for his death. So, an aspect of the limud of Egla Arufa is the achrayas, is the responsibility that one has to take for other people. If Bezdin did send him out without food, Bezdin was aware that this person's leaving, and he sent him out food, they can't say Lo Yishafkos Adam Hazeh, they can't say we didn't kill him, because to a partial extent they were responsible for his death. The last thing that Yosef learned, perhaps, the last thing that Yosef learned, the last lesson that Yosef learned, is the responsibility a person has to take for somebody else. Yosef shows, in this week's parsha, his midah of achrayis. And that's the third thing I like to focus on as the quality necessary to be a leader, to be a leader in Klal Yisrael, to be a leader over a group of people, is a responsibility. Yosef comes out to Mitzrayim, obviously he displayed responsibility in taking care of Mitzrayim's needs. But what did Yosef do? Yosef is half of a fella. Yosef is sold by his brothers. But he's worried that when his brothers come down to Mitzrayim, they're going to feel like strangers. So therefore he makes the whole Mitzrayim move around. They just have to sell their land to him, and he relocates them. In order that then the brothers come down, they shouldn't feel like strangers. They shouldn't be uncomfortable. People call them people that are strangers here. Yosef's thinking about his brother's comfort. Also, Yosef did an unbelievable thing. Yosef made a special thing that they have to give a fifth, I think it was. They have to give part of their grain to the Kohanim. To the Kohanim, they have to give a tax to the Kohanim. And this set up an unbelievable kayach in Mitzrayim. That Mitzrayim had respect for Kohanim, people that were in the field of spirituality. Which, that was the whole kayach, that amazing thing. That even though the Mitzrayim enslaved the Yidden, even though the Egyptians enslaved the Yidden, but they did not enslave Sheva Levi. Because Sheva Levi is the Kohanim. They're the priests, they're the ones that are responsible for the Ruchnias. So even Mitzrayim, who hates the Jews and are enslaving them, but it was already ingrained in them from the times of Yosef, how you have to treat Kohanim. Kohanim, you can't do that. It's against the law. You know, they can be murderers, but the law is the law. It's against the law. Throw the babies into the ocean, but the law is the law. The law is the law. So they didn't work Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi was sitting and learning Torah. Unbelievable thing. Yosef set that up years before. The achrayas a person has, that the decisions he makes, he's thinking not just about the present, he's thinking about the future, he's thinking about the comfort, he's sensitive to the people's needs, and he takes responsibility. I'm responsible. If Yosef, by the way, listen to, if you want to make it this way, make it stronger. If Yosef didn't set this up with the Kohanim, then he would have taken someone responsibility in the Bittul Torah, in the service of all of Sheva Levi. Had he not set up this thing with the Kohanim, then all those years in Mitzrayim, all the 210 years in Mitzrayim, all those years in Mitzrayim, the Levim would have also been working. Moshe Ben wouldn't have had a chance maybe to walk around the field. Well, Moshe Ben was Paro, but was in Paro's house. But all that was Yosef. If you don't do it, then you're also responsible. It's not just, we have to realize, we have to take responsibility for ourselves, we have to take responsibility for others around us. We have to realize that it's not only just about you know, that, oh, it's so nice that Yosef did that, or it's so nice when a person is worried about someone's going out of town and you're worried that he has food, you're worried he doesn't get stuck for Shabbos, you're concerned about him, you're so worried about him, and it's like only a plus. You also have to realize that if you don't do it, you're a minus. It's a responsibility. You're achrayus, you'll be punished. If the Beis Din did not send them out with food, they would not be able to say we didn't kill him, because they did kill him. They had a chelik in killing him. It goes both ways. Responsibility is I am responsible. I don't have a choice. I'm responsible for other people. Taking responsibility. That's the midah of a leader. That's the midah of Yosef Atzadik. So many times I'm guilty of this more than anyone. So many times we deny responsibility. We know we have to also take responsibility. We know if someone needs a ride. You know, we know someone needs a ride. And we know this person has a hard time asking people. You know, didn't cross our mind to, you know, maybe to try to help them, you know, till maybe we see someone else, another more responsible person, you know, go around asking for a ride. It's like, you see him walking around going for a ride, you say, oh, you know, you need a ride? Ask Yankel, he also needs a ride. Oh, I'm asking for him. Oh, why didn't I think of that? I always, this is a cute thing. Like, one time I learned a great lesson here. One time I asked someone for, I told you this before, one time I asked someone for, to borrow, no, I'm sorry, I asked someone if he has change of 20 shekel. I needed to get onto a bus. I asked him, do you have change of 20 or something? Change of 20 shekel. He said, I don't have change, but can I lend you? When a person asks us to borrow money for change, we should realize, think, he's asking me for change, that means he needs money. Oh, there are other ways to help the person. I can lend him money. When someone comes to you looking for a ride, says, are you going to New York to Shabbos? No, I'm not. The person needs a ride. Don't you know your neighbor's going to New York to Shabbos? How come you didn't think of it? Because you didn't care. Ahot. Achrayus, so caring about your friend, responsibility for your friend. Think what the person needs, how I can help them, and I'm responsible for helping. If I could have given Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem should ask us, you know, the guy asked you for a ride, Hashem asks you. The guy asked you for a ride yesterday, and didn't you know your neighbor's going to New York? How come you didn't tell him? Oh, I didn't think of it. It's a pretty lousy excuse. We have to learn to think about it. Someone needs something, let me think about it. So here's someone's sick. Oh, he's sick. Baruch Hashem, there's always going to be the one bacher that thinks about somebody. We have to be those people that take responsibility, take achrayus for other people on our own. And certainly, if we're given a job, a counselor, a rebbe, a person's given a job, he has to live up to his responsibility. He has to realize that he has a responsibility. He can't slack off of his responsibility. His responsibility to the tzibur comes before his own needs. A person's responsibility to the tzibur comes before his own needs. It's a tight balance, avadi, you have to learn this and that. But you have to know that bottom line, the responsibility to the tzibur comes before your own needs, even your own ruchnius needs. All right, in Mitzvah Hashem, we should work on these three areas. Touched on three areas of godless, of malchus. One is the ability to do what's right against your yetzer hara, against your ratzon, even if it means embarrassing yourself, even if it means giving up honor. And that person in the end will have true honor, will have real kavod bestowed on him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, a person has to realize his negiyas. We all like honor, but is that our motivation? Are we doing things for the right reasons, or are we doing things for the wrong reasons? To understand our motivations. Otherwise, you can't be a leader, because you end up hurting people and you end up making wrong decisions because of your own personal gratification. See this all the time. And three is the responsibility to the people around you, and the concern and responsibility that person takes for those around them. All right, have a good Shabbos. Yeah.